From the Ozark Folk Encyclopedia, under D, Dialect. Otto Ernest Rayburn believed in the uniqueness of Ozark culture, and language was one kind of evidence he used to support his belief. Although he was not trained in linguistics or dialect studies, he recognized that the speech of Ozarkers was distinctive, colorful, and, he thought, representative of the character of Ozark people, their conservatism, their close ties to the land, and especially their sense of humor. In the Ozark Folk Encyclopedia, he collected material on the Ozark dialect. His good friend Vance Randolph wrote him in 1941, when Rayburn was working on his book, Ozark Country. Randolph warned, "There are a lot of pitfalls in this dialect business," and suggested that Rayburn might just pick out a few of the best phrases and let it go at that. In Rayburn's files is a copy of his review of Down in the Holler by Vance Randolph and George P. Wilson, published in 1953 by the University of Oklahoma Press. Randolph wrote that the Ozarker often reverted to older English grammar and usage and had a feeling for the vivid phrase. In his review, Rayburn asserted that, "After a thorough reading, I believe you will agree that the speech of the hillman does have certain characteristics that give it distinctive flavor." Another clipping in Rayburn's file on dialect is an article by Ethel Strainchamps, a writer from Springfield, Missouri, clipped from the Arkansas Gazette. This article was reprinted from Harper's. Strainchamps had apparently embraced the position of H. L. Mencken and many others that the use of any dialectal English at all is low class, if not illiterate, and should be abandoned as soon as possible. Her article offers tongue-in-cheek suggestions for losing the dialect in order to get ahead in the mainstream of American life. She writes as someone who has already done so, having grown up in the southern Missouri hill country. Here are some of her comments. "The Ozarkers' linguistic conservatism appears to be based on sound instinct. It is shared by a branch of the most civilized users of our language, the English aristocracy. Given the choice between the U and non-U words listed in Nancy Mitford's Noblesse Oblige, the Ozarker would take the U word in nearly every case. As a child," Strainchamps writes, "I said fine house and not lovely home, sick instead of ill, false teeth and not dentures, spectacles and not glasses, Scotch and not Scottish. I would have said that a rich man had false teeth, that he was fat, and that he had had his teeth pulled because they were rotten and had holes in them. Heavy set, extracted, decayed, and cavities are words I learned after I left home." When she started high school at Joplin, Strainchamps had to adopt some of the idioms of her new environment. "Within a couple of months, I had gone from Ewan's to y'all, from Purdy to exquisite to exquisite, from winder to window to winda, and from drawers to lingerie to lingerie. In short, I had made my first dialect switch from rural to urban Appalachian." I have to interrupt here to wonder why she cannot just go ahead and admit her Ozark roots. Joplin is not in Appalachia. Strainchamps offers further advice to the learner of Ozark dialect. "The born Ozarker carries in his head a lifetime collection of similes and metaphors, and his special skill is to extract the right figure for the right occasion. Common barnyard and woodlot fauna abound in the Ozarker's figure of speech anthology, and the beginner might work this field first." She offers many examples. "As crooked as a barrel of snakes. He's got about as much use for that as a hog has for a side saddle. He couldn't hit a bull in the rump with a fiddle, blinking like a toad in a hailstorm. As to pronunciation, Strange Champs' observations ring true to my ear even today. She says that Ozark expressions are more effective when the speaker is holding his mouth right, another skill that requires an understanding of the Ozarker's attitude toward language. His restraint in volume and tempo, the indistinctness of his pronunciation, all result from his reluctance to spend an unseemly amount of energy on a function that should be performed as inconspicuously as possible. A distaste for expending the energy necessary to engage his jaw muscles gives his vowels their narrow horizontal sound, so that he says catch to rhyme with fetch, tire with bar, and get with bit. This greatly simplifies pronunciation, as a few examples will show. Bard had the loan of, as in, he's living on barred time. Fard, the top part of the face, as in, he parts his hair in the middle of his fard. Narrowed, gets less wide, as in, the choice narrowed down to two. Tarred, hot, as in, gorillas live in the tarred zone. Sadly, Ozarkers, like all Americans in our distinctive regional cultures, have lost much of the distinctiveness of their language. Our greatest state politicians and a few writers have retained a certain amount of it, perhaps seeing some professional or pecuniary benefit from holding on to old-fashioned metaphors and pronunciation, but most of us are content to talk like the people we see on television and hear on the radio. Perhaps that is not a disastrous loss, but I think we are the poorer for it all the same.